Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello. And welcome to a very special Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. It's a special programme because we have here beside me in the studio Raymond Ferguson. I only met him 6 weeks ago myself, but as soon as I got chatting with him, I thought you must get him on the Holy Half Hour. All the listeners will love to meet him too, because he has an amazing story to tell. How his life has been completely transformed by his recent experiences as one of our brave soldiers serving out in Afghanistan. The subtitle for this programme is Finding Faith in Adversity, but more of that in a moment. So to get us in the mood, here is the recent number one in the pop charts, Wherever You Are, by the military wives who go through agonies while their partners are in the thick of battle. You're listening to 3TFM's Holy Half Hour, and tonight we're talking to Raymond Ferguson, a recent soldier in Afghanistan who found that to be a life-changing experience. So, welcome Raymond, and thank you very much for coming to the studio.
Not a problem, Mike, not a problem.
Can we start at the beginning with your life story? Are you a local lad?
I sure am. I've been a Saltcoats boy all my life, well, until I was 16 anyway, and more recent, the past couple of years, I moved back. So, Saltcoats, the majority of my days, unfortunately.
What school did you go to?
Dykes Mains, just up the road for my current house actually, in Plaider Road. Dykes Mains for 7 years, then followed by 4 years at our Drossen Academy, and then a swift exit for Drossen Academy onto Her Majesty's Armed Forces.
Would people know you maybe by your mum and dad? Can you explain who you are? You know?
I was the eldest, I was the first, and then my wee brother followed 3 years after. My dad's a baker in the candy bar. They both met in the candy bar. My mum,
this is in Saltcoats?
Yeah, in Saltcoats, aye. They were both in the candy bar at the time they met, but then my mum obviously moved on and she's working in Jason's Barbers just now. And my wee brother, actually, he's in the army as well. He's still in. He's getting a bit of recuperation done, by an operation on his shoulder. He was shot more recently in Afghanistan. So he was. So it's been testing times for Derek, and he's actually going through an operation next week. So good luck, Derek.
Is he still out in Afghanistan?
No, he's back. He's been back a year and a half now. This happened in October 2010.
Right.
He's getting there.
It shows you that the legacy lives on after you're back. You've still got.
Couldn't could see anything go by him. He had to join the army. He had to copy his big brother. Yeah. Had to take his big brother's lead.
So, just out of interest, why did you think of joining the army?
Alec, it was just to get away from Saltcoats, to be honest with you. There was nothing, no offence to Saltcoats, but there was nothing in there at the time. There was the jobs, one of the kind of jobs I was looking at doing. And the army appealed because the travelling, meeting new people, and just doing something for the country as well. I believe that, I think all 16 to 18 year olds should experience a bit of what I experienced, because it certainly does kind of change your outlook in life, and it's a good prospect. It's a good, it gets money in your bank account for an early age. You get used to it and then you realise, you know, it's not a bad career after all.
Were there not some reservations before you sign up to carrying a rifle and shooting and things?
Honestly, it might sound a bit silly, but I never really thought much about that, like holding the rifle and stuff like that. My initial worry was, am I going to cope with this? Am I going to cope with being away from home? Because as much as I thought I would cope, no bother, you know, there's still a wee bit of reservation in the back of your mind. Will this be for me? So I didn't get much thought.
Were you hoping you would go to the battlefront lines, or were you hoping you wouldn't?
Oh, no, definitely. Obviously hoped to be there at some point. I mean, 16
years
old.
Ready to be in the action.
Oh, aye, definitely. Oh, without doubt.
So when you got to the army, where did you go to? What was your base?
Yeah, it was about 430 miles away, down in Basingburn in Hertfordshire.
Which is near London?
Yeah, just an hour from London.
And so, what was your job?
Well, initially, it was just the basic training. It was 20 weeks down there. It was between the January and the May. And then after that, I then went on to Blandford, which is down in Dorset, to carry on with my trade training to be a radio operator, as it was called at the time. It's since been named a communications technician or whatever.
So when you first left home and you arrive at the army for the initial training, how did you feel?
Not as bold as I thought I would be. It's not as... quite daunting, to be honest with you. Although you're sharing a room with 12 people, it could be the loneliest place in the world. It was the first time I had been away from home for a long period of time. I miss my mum and dad. I really miss my wee brother and the rest of the family. It was hard for the first couple of weeks.
And I presume that's true for all the other recruits as well.
Definitely. The good thing about it, everybody was going through the same thing because we had all joined together. So you weren't short for a wee bit of help through, you know. There was always somebody to talk to about it. Everybody was going through the same, so that definitely helped.
It's quite strange, isn't it? All these young folk looking for adventure to conquer the world, and the first thing is they go to a barracks and they all feel lonely.
Oh, aye. As soon as the chuck wagon came down, we stopped feeling lonely. We felt a bit better about life, because after a week they let you to spend your money, so that was a wee bit rolled in a treat.
Well, Raymond, we'll pause here for a moment for our first track. You've chosen this yourself. Can you explain why you picked it?
It's a popular song by Deacon Blue called Dignity. It's just a wee song that reminded me of back home in Saltcoats, which I played quite a few times, just remind me of home.
Dignity. the man I meet walks up our street. He's a worker for the council, has been 20 years, and he takes no lip of nobody and litter off the gutter. Puts it in a bag and never thinks to mutter. And he packs his lunch in a Sunday's bag. The children call him Bogey. He never lets on, but I know, cause he once told me. He let me know a secret about the money in his kitty. He's gonna buy a dinghy, gonna call her Dignity. And I'll sail her up the west coast, through villages and towns. I'll be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got her, I'll say, I saved my money. I say, isn't she pretty? That ship called Dignity. And I'm telling this story in a faraway sea, sipping down raki and reading Maynard Keynes. And I'm thinking about home and all that that means, and a place in the winter for Dignity. And I'll sail up the west coast, through villages and towns. Be on my holidays, they'll be doing the rounds. They'll ask me how I got a house. Say, I save my money. Say, isn't she pretty? That ship called Dignity.
So Raymond, you're in the army and you're fully trained, and then you were told that you were going to be deployed to Afghanistan. When was that?
It was actually in 2006, June 2006, when I actually deployed to Afghanistan with 216 Parachute Signal Squadron down in Colchester.
How did you feel when you were told?
There's a difference between actually thinking about it and actually being told, right, this is the date you're going, this is the date you'll be coming back. It then becomes real. Mm-hmm. I think it was the end of June, the actual deployment happened. We went down to Bryce Norton, and that's when it kind of kicks in a wee bit that we were heading. Boarded the plane, flew off over London, headed to a base in Germany quickly to get fuel. And then that was us, straight into Kabul, where I spent the evening, and then went into Camp Bashan immediately after that.
What was your first impressions when you landed in Afghanistan?
It's roasting. It was very, very hot, and there was no escaping for the heat. Like, you couldn't go into a wee air-conditioned room. When you went into a tent, it was just, at times it would be 10, like the weather outside, it was just so hot. And I picked up a bottle of water, and it was just as hot. It was roasting, because I was going to pour it on my face, but I wouldn't have bothered. I'd have probably scalded it, to be honest with you. There was just no escaping, but you get used to it.
How long before your first action?
Well, it was actually sooner than I had thought, because you're in Camp Bashan. Imagine Camp Bashan to be a kind of a holding base, a kind of headquarters type, where you kind of rest from the actual battlefield. We resupply, so on and so forth, and where the stores are kept. So I had been there about a week or two, and one of my comrades was actually shot in action, so I was his immediate replacement. So it was a bit of adrenaline pumping, and then you get called to deploy out to the to the battle stations. You board the Chinook, and it's a strange moment, actually, getting involved in the action, because it's just the sense of pride you feel for your country and what you're doing. It's just nothing I'd ever felt before in the army. I knew I was doing the right thing. I wasn't scared. I was focused, and I was a bit proud of myself as well. You know, I was actually going ahead with it. It was exciting as well. A lot of different emotions going through, going through my head at that time. So there was.
You're kind of surprised at yourself.
Oh, really surprised? Aye, because I'm a bit of a worrier. So I had worried about this for ages. You know, all these different scenarios. But when the 6 o'clock in the morning came, I was ready. It was good. It was a nice feeling, to be honest with you. And I was absolutely baffled at how confident I was about the actual deployment.
Well, it's interesting you say it was a nice feeling. It's maybe not the exact word you're meaning, is it?
No, nice. I certainly wouldn't like to feel it again, to be honest with you. It was unique. Unique's a better word to use. Not only you're excited, but you're nervous as well, because a wee mistake could really be costly.
It was a bit of a rush of adrenaline. Is that what you mean?
Aye, there we go. Aye, that's the word to use, Alec.
A mixture of all kinds of emotions.
Oh, a million emotions mixed in.
And in that mixture, did anything jump out as a surprise emotion?
The big surprise to me was that it was happening. You know, as much preparation as you can do for it. Mm-hmm. When it actually happened, it's nothing that you can really train for to prepare you for that sort of focus you get, and the sense of pride, the nervousness, the excitement. Well, I did worry a wee bit, you know, what if I forgot this, what if I forgot that. So that was an interesting time.
And one of the aspects of it would be the camaraderie of the soldiers, eh?
Aye, that was
because all of you are having these feelings at the same time.
Yeah, aye, that's.
And then there's the loss of your colleagues.
Yeah, so you're living with these people day in, day out. You're going through the highs, you're going through the lows, you're going through a unique experience together. It's something that it's a once in a lifetime thing. And these guys that you live with, are, you know, they might not be your choice of friends, but they become like a brother. You know, you help one another out.
It's the fellowship of facing danger together.
Yeah, I think that's unity, strength, is that what they say?
Yeah.
And it's certainly the case in Afghanistan.
Well, that's a good lead into our next track that you've chosen. Can you explain that one?
Well, it's actually not been out long. It's a CD of my mum and dad's, which I had been listening to. It's the soldiers. They're actually three serving soldiers, and they're singing Lean On Me.
Strong, and I'll be your friend. I
It's fascinating thinking about you out in the battlefield and your experiences and the mixed emotions. But you'd said to me that out of that it changed your life. Can you explain the spiritual journey there?
The spiritual journey is an interesting one. I'll take you back to when I was born. I was baptised in the Church of the Nazarene, and I attended at the Nazarene to about maybe 4 or 5 years of age, and then went to the North Parish. And I believe the reason for changing was I went to the Boys' Brigade in the North Parish, and I stayed near the North Parish as well. So
went in Saltcoats.
Yeah, that's right. So I went in the Boys' Brigade for a couple of years, and then about the age of 7, I kind of drifted away from the church, played football at weekends, and the only time I would probably have been in a church between the age of 7 and 16 would have been either church, the school services, when the school went down, or for funerals, like when my papa died in 2001. And then at 16 years of age, my first week in the army, the padre kind of took us all into the church and gave us a wee talk. So that's really been my kind of experiences up until then.
So what happened in Afghanistan?
Well, Afghanistan was, as you'll understand, it's a different place and you're away for your loved ones. So I kind of started to ask questions of God. Not only was I asking favours for God, you know, I was going to also thank him for things that I thought he was pulling off, like doing things, I could see his work. But then other times, I was completely questioning his actual presence or even his existence. But then a day would pass and then I'd be asking for his help again, and then he would give me his help. And it's the first time I had ever really, in my kind of adult life, started to understand God and the way he works. And it's the first time I'd really asked for help, and I'm still here. So he answered my call.
And also, you were facing the Taliban, and they believe in God too.
Well, they've got many different beliefs. And it's funny you mention that, because we had interpreters working alongside us, and they prayed 5 times a day. So I felt, oh, you know what, maybe I should pray to my God, because he's not demanding. We can maybe pray once or twice a day. He doesn't get up at 5:30 in the morning for a prayer. So I learned a different religion out there as well. You know, I understood the kind of Muslim faith and the way of life and how it differs from Christianity.
And you had a sneaking admiration for their zeal, did you?
They're a committed bunch. They really, I've never seen as a dedicated bunch to the religion, because it was 5 times a day on the dot, no matter what was happening. There could be gunshots going off, but the interpreters would ditch their radios and head for prayer, which was quite baffling.
Your next piece of music connects to this. Can you explain how you chose it?
This is actually a song for my wife, Shirley. This is a song that she kind of listened to at the time I was in Afghanistan, as people kind of tend to forget, like the wife back home who's suffering just as much and going through just as much. So this is Jesus Take the Wheel. And as I said, this is a song that Shirley listened to quite a bit when I was in Afghanistan.
But it was also your prayer at the time.
Yeah, it's a song that I had listened to as well, so it was like, probably listened to it in unity.
Right, here's Jesus Take the Wheel.
Driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air. Jesus, take the wheel. Take it. was still getting colder when she made it to the shoulder and the car came to a stop. She cried when she saw that baby in the backseat sleeping like a rock. And for the first time in a long time, she bowed her head to pray. She said, I'm sorry for the way I've been living my life. I know I've got to change. It's over now, on tonight. Jesus, take the wheel.
Raymond, our holy half hour is nearing its end. So to cut the story short a wee bit, you served your time in Afghanistan and you've come back. So where are you now, would you say?
Well, I left the army in 2009 and I joined Strathclyde Police in January 2010. I had a job for 4 or 5 months in between, emptying cash machines.
You're quite keen on jobs with uniforms,
well,
I see.
It's not that I'm keen in uniform, it just happens with the jobs I go for, to be honest with you. There's nothing more I would love to turn up and work in a pair of jeans and T-shirt, believe you me, Alec.
And you're a policeman up in Greenock?
Yes, aye.
That compares with Afghanistan, doesn't
Oh,
it?
Big time. Greenock is absolutely nothing in Afghanistan. So it's a lot,
but
a lot
seriously,
worse.
You quite enjoy the police?
Aye, the police is good. It's challenging and it can be rewarding at times, albeit it can be frustrating. You get to see the good bits of community as well
and
as the bad.
You've married Shirley, your girlfriend, and
yep.
You're now a dad.
Yep, Charlotte Sophia was born on September the 23rd of last year, and she was just christened yesterday. I'd approached yourself, Alex, 6 weeks ago to see if you would christen her, and it's got me and Shirley back into the church as well. It's something we'd always been fretting about for a good year or two, but we want... Me and Shirley were both kind of brought up in the church, so we want Charlotte to have that upbringing that we had, and hopefully she can live by the morals and values of the church, the same as me and Shirley did.
So you've come out of Afghanistan, but Afghanistan hasn't come out of you.
Oh, never. It never will. It will always stay with me because it changed me. It completely changed my outlook in life.
And it's made you more amenable to God and church and things like that.
Oh, definitely. It gave me a bit more kind of belief in God. It was what I was looking for. As I said, I had doubted it, but you know, that's, you need the wee kind of trials and tribulations to kind of show your true faith.
Well, thank you very much, Raymond, for coming in tonight and sharing with us your thoughts there, all your trials and tribulations.
Not a problem. So, a pleasure.
We really appreciate you coming and sharing.
No, thank you, Alec.
And our last piece of music is Highland Cathedral, and that has special connotations for you because it was at your wedding, was it?
Yes, that's the song that Shirley marched in.
Came down.
I'm saying marching here.
It's a military term.
She walked down the aisle when we were getting married.